seat him.
Amen. We just greet everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we're going to sing a couple of worship songs, and you at your homes, just enter into this atmosphere, just welcome the Lord into your homes, wherever we are. It's two or three where they gather together, that's where he is in the midst. So let's sing a couple of songs before our brother comes out. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same. And there is only one way to touch him, and just believe when you call on his name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same. And there is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name, because he lives. Oh, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All my fears are gone because I know, oh yes, I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living just because he lives. We serve a living God this morning. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. Because I know, yes, I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living just because he lives. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies has followed me. And so glad you found me and you set me free. And so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. You happy for that this morning? Oh, so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. And so glad your mercies have followed me. And so glad you found me and you set me free. And so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Oh, it opens prison doors, sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Sing it from your heart. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me, oh, that life abundantly. Let's all stand as Brother Luis comes. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. And it opens prison doors, sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me, oh, that life abundantly.
Praise the Lord Jesus. I trust that that is what you want. Amen. For God to just shower you with His blessings. Amen. And I know that you have been, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for His blessings. Amen. The life and the things that He provides for us, we just thank God for Him. Thank God for all that He does for us. Welcome each and every one that is viewing us online. We just appreciate each and every one of you, and appreciate the ones that are here and helping out. And we thank God for, you know, it's uncertain times, but God knows what He's doing. Amen. So we have to do on our part, on our end, what we have to do. So you just keep each and every one of these people, these individuals in prayer, and just continue to ask God to strengthen them. Amen. Well, we're just going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and right before we read the word. So let's just bow our heads. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to gather, Father, together, Lord, even, Lord, if maybe we may not be here physically, Father God, You provided technology, Lord Jesus, that we would be able to, hear and see, Father God, ministering of Your word, Lord. And Father, how we thank You for that, Lord. And we appreciate, Lord Jesus, what You are doing in our midst. Sometimes, Lord God, we may not understand, Lord, but Father, we certainly know, Lord, that You are in control. Lord, You're not asleep. Lord, Your word tells us, Father God, that You're not a God that slumbers or that needs sleep, Lord Jesus, but You are attentive, Lord God, and You are mindful, Lord Jesus, of our every situations. And Lord God, we just thank You, Father, that we serve a God like You, Lord. Not a dead God, Father, but a God that's alive and that raised, Father God, from death, Lord God, and it lives, Lord Jesus, throughout all eternity, Lord. And that God now, Father, is reigning in us, Lord. And we just thank You for that. Lord Jesus, may You have Your way here in this service, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Anoint my lips, Lord God, the little portion of Your word that we're about to speak, Lord. You just anoint it to the people's hearts, Lord God. Reveal it to us, Lord. And let us receive, Father God, what You would want us to hear, Lord Jesus. And Father, may you just continue to be with these sick ones, Lord, amongst us. Lord, touch their bodies, Lord God. Come down, Father God, and fulfill that healing in them, Lord, that you purchased for them on the cross of Calvary, Lord, over 2,000 years ago, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you, Father God, because we consider it done. And we ask these things now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's just turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 112. Yeah, you can. Psalms chapter 112. And we're just going to read the whole chapter, and it's only 10 verses, but I want to concentrate on verses 7 and 8. Psalms 112. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. And his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance." And now watch verse 7. It says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." And in the contemporary English version, it says it this way. I like the way it says, "Bad news won't bother them. They have decided to trust the Lord." Amen. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we want to speak this morning, amen, on the a little title called "When Bad News Strikes." When bad news strikes. And I was going to continue ministering on the what I was ministering on Wednesday about advancing God's kingdom by fulfilling the law of Christ, but maybe next time we minister, we'll continue with that. I just felt impressed to just go this route, because certainly, saints, we've had a lot of bad news in the past several days. But, you know, and then looking in the Word, you know, and you know, all around us, there's always bad news. You know, you look in the news, and you know, how are the news companies make money? You know, they got to proclaim bad news. I mean, nobody makes money. They don't make money proclaiming good news. Every now and then you might see something good in mainstream media, but most of the time it's bad news, bad news. I came across a website a couple of years ago, and it was called happynews.com. And I think the site's still up, but it hasn't been updated in a long time. But it was everything, anything that you could think of, happy news, it was right there. So certainly a different alternative from what we see at CNN, Fox News, and all these. But that's how they make their living, is through bad news. But you know, verse 7 here tells us, "He shall not be afraid of evil news or evil tidings." Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen. And that's how God wants us to do. Amen. Is to trust in him no matter what news comes along our way. No matter what takes place or what's happening all around us, and no matter how dark it gets, we must stay steadfast on what God has placed in our hearts. Because that's the way Jesus lived his life. Many times, and we'll look at it in a little bit later, but you know, him being in a boat, sleeping, just not concerned. He was tired. But he was not concerned when the disciples were there waking him up. You know, "Lord, don't you see that we're going to perish because there's a storm, you know, and the boat's about to sink. Water's coming in." And Jesus was sitting in the back, amen, on a pillow, resting his head, not even concerned of what was going on. Why? Because he knew where he was standing. He knew where he was fixed. He was God here on earth. And so that's how God wants us to do in this hour. Because if we had Christ in us, that same spirit that dwelled in him, amen, is the same spirit, amen, that is in you, praise God. Is the same God, amen, that is in you in the form of the Holy Ghost. And that is the exact same way that we should take, amen. When we hear bad tidings, when we hear bad things happen all around us, I know the human reaction is to be afraid. The human reaction is to quickly react. And the human reaction is to worry. But God tells us, amen, here in his word, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. You know what? Satan, what he tries to do is many times he tries to divert our attention by bad news. When we're happy, we're rejoicing, we're serving the Lord, nothing bad is happening in our lives. I mean, we have to work, we get tired, we have to deal, pay bills and different things. But then all of a sudden bad news strikes or something happens in our lives that completely changes things. And that's when God wants to see where you're really standing. Now, Satan would try to use those situations to divert our attention, to divert our faith in God, to put it in more in a doctor or in a medicine or in something else. But God wants to see if, okay, he'll allow Satan. Go ahead, Satan. Use whatever you need to do. You are just a tool in my hands. Now, let me see how my children are going to react. Now, out of that situation, you're either going to come out stronger, or you're going to fail and God's going to have you do that lesson once again. Because each and every one of us, God wants us to get to a certain point in our lives, amen, where we are mature Christians. And I believe the times that we are in now, God is calling for that. God is really calling for that. And that's why we need to really seek God more in prayer, fasting, do whatever it needs to happen, because the time of playing games is over. The time of being nonchalant about serving God is over. Now it's time to really, amen, seek God and seek his will for our lives. And we know his will is his word. Amen. So we know that God's attributes, they're manifested through negatives. We know that without, if there was nobody to save, he would not be a savior. If there was nobody sick, he would not be a healer. We know all the attributes. So it takes a negative and a positive, amen, to have the full picture. Right. Amen. You cannot have a full picture, a color, beautiful picture if there was not a negative and there was not a positive. There has to be both in order for there for the full picture. And that's why sometimes we wonder, Lord, why is this happening in my life? Why is this going on? Why are you allowing this? I mean, that's the negative part. But then the positive part is, hey, thanking God that you are for what you do have. Remember when we talked the other day about under pressure, thanking him for what we do have. Amen. It could be worse. It could be worse sometimes. But then it takes those two things, that positive and that negative, to bring out the full picture. And eventually God will reveal that to us. When I was in school, I used to do photography, and we would go into the dark room, and it was all red and dark in there, and we'd have all the chemicals when we were developing film. And for those who remember what film is, and we used to go in there, and we'd put the film, after taking pictures, put the film in the different liquids. Now, you see, that film had to go through all those processes, right? All those different processes and all being drowned amongst all those different little liquids. Yeah. Amen. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of it's red and dark. Amen. But see, I knew what I was doing. God was in control. God is in control. I knew what liquid to put this film in first, and then take it put it in this liquid, and then do this and that, and then make it dry out. And eventually the negative comes out, and then we can take out positive images out of that. Amen. See, God has a process, and he's in full control. Praise the Lord. So, just quick examples in the word about, when bad news hits. You remember the story of Esther Esther heard bad news about a decree that had gone out. Haman was against the Jews. And Mordecai, which was her uncle, he heard about the bad news. And Esther didn't have any idea. Her being the queen, didn't even know. And that's how we are sometimes, you know, in living in this life, you know. We don't know everything. We don't know why God is allowing what's happening. Amen. I know one thing for sure. I could just say that for me, myself, it's got me to pray more. Yes. It's got me to seek God more. Amen. It's got me to change my, the way I view the brethren around me and the people around me. It's gotten to do that. And I don't know about you, but it's gotten me to do that. So I thank God for that. I thank God for because it is those negative times that makes us look at ourselves. Esther didn't know what was going on. Mordecai got the message sent to her, and it was bad news to her. It wasn't certainly glad tidings. It was bad tidings that her people were going to be destroyed. Haman made out the decree, and it was stamped by the king, and the people were going to be destroyed, and they were going to be killed. And Mordecai, Esther, all she could do, the way she reacted, is the only thing we can do is pray and fast. Yeah. And that's what she did. And she called for a prayer and fast and told Mordecai, let all the people know that this is what we're going to do for 3 days. 3 days. And she got up. Maybe she may not have heard anything audible from God, but she got up with a confidence saying, and she said, listen, if I perish, I perish when I go before the king. Amen. And if we perish in this hour, but at least we did what we knew we were supposed to do. We were responsible with the word that we had. Right. Amen. And that's all that God wants us to do is thou good and faithful servant. Amen. What did you do with what I gave you? Amen. And Esther just went in there before the king and not knowing if she was going to die or if she was going to live, but she took that chance. Amen. With the word and with what she had done backing her up. Amen. And we know the rest of the story that the king accepted her. Amen. He's put out his scepter and she was able to come in. She found grace before his eyes, and the Jewish people, they were able to defend themselves before this proclamation that Haman, and you know who ended up losing? It was Haman. Haman, which represents Satan. He was the loser the whole time. The whole time he was thinking he was winning. The whole time he was thinking he was, oh, this whole thing is being activated and I'm coming. I'm rising up. Amen. He's the one who ended up losing at the end. Esther became, amen, she became a hero. Amen. She became not just only a hero, but she's a representative of who the bride of Christ is in this hour. Amen. And the Jewish people became, out of that came a day that the day of Purim, where they celebrate even to this day. Amen. So I want us to look also in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you have your Bibles in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there was another incident where King Jehoshaphat, who was one of the kings that the Bible says that he did good in the eyes of the Lord. And he was a wise king. And King Jehoshaphat was about to be invaded by Moab. And if you read the story there, it's very interesting because in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll just read verses 3 and 4 here. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Now, this is after he had heard. See, he was the king of Judah at the time. And he gets this news that Moab was about to invade them. And Moab, with the help of another, they had another partner. There was Ammon, I believe it was. And they were getting ready to invade Judah, Israel at the time. And Jehoshaphat knew that they could not withstand the armies that were coming at them. And this was bad news. This was bad news. I mean, you as a commander, you as a king, what would you do if you hear, if you heard, let's just say the little country of Guam, amen, and the leader there in Guam or whoever is, and they hear, oh, Russia's coming to invade. What are you gonna do? That was kind of similar to what was happening here. And so King Jehoshaphat in verse 3, he says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Now see, that was the natural thing for a human being to do. But watch, and he says, and set himself, even though he feared, it says, and set himself to seek the Lord. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The same thing that Esther did. In verse 4 it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. I mean, who else could we turn to? When bad news comes, when all darkness is all around us, amen, the only one that we can turn to is the Lord. Amen. I mean, we can't turn to anybody else. Amen. He is the only one, but that's where God wants us in, that's where He wants to see us. Yeah. Amen. You don't think that God didn't know that Ammon was getting ready to invade Judah? God knew it all along. He knew while they were planning it. Yet God wanted to see what Jehoshaphat was going to do. And so in verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. My goodness. Wow. Out of all the cities of Judah, amen, they got desperate. Amen. God loves it when His children get desperate. God loves desperation because out of desperation, He does lots of great things. Amen. Because He wants to get the glory. He wants you to see what He can do. Amen. When you are completely backed up into a wall. Amen. And so in reading here in verse 5, I want you to hear what Jehoshaphat's prayer was. Amen. Because sometimes in reading the prayers that are made in situations like these, amen, we learn things. I mean, sometimes even listening to Brother Branham's prayers, we get some good nuggets out of those prayers. And so Jehoshaphat's prayer was recorded there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 5. And it says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah. So this was public. And he wasn't secretly, I mean, this is what he did before the people. Stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And that's what we say in this hour, amen? But we know that he's powerful. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Isn't he the same God that healed yesterday? Isn't he the same God that's even raised the dead even amongst us? Amen. Isn't he the same God that's done mighty things around us? We know that he is. Praise God. And we are his seed. We are the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord. We're his seed by faith. Praise God. And why are these things happening to us? That's exactly what Jehoshaphat was asking as well. In verse 7 it says, are not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. Amen? Thy name is in this house. So why is this happening? Amen. He's put his name in you. Amen. Amen. We live by his name. We're a people called by his name. Right. Praise God. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. In their case, it was the house, it was the temple. Amen. It was the tabernacle. Amen. Where he had put his name in. Praise God. And when you would look to that, amen, there would be help. That's what Jonas did while he was in the belly of the whale. He said, if I look toward thy temple, I know that I shall be saved. Praise God. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. So here, Jehoshaphat is saying, Lord, you allowed us to not even come against these people when we left Egypt, because the children of Israel, I mean, they were slaying dragons left and right and slaying people left. God was with them. But these were a people that they did not touch at all. These were a people that God allowed them to continue forward, and they did not even bother them at all. They did not have any beef with them, if you could say it that way. Though if you call it in current, in our day's terms. But this is what Jehoshaphat is saying. Now those people are coming against them. And so, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us. Look what they're doing to us now. To come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. In other words, they're come to take us out and exile us from the land that you gave us, Lord. And so in verse 12, and it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. We there's nothing we can do against this great company, this great people that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen. Praise God. Now what did Psalms 112 we just read said? Our eyes are fixed on thee, Lord. We stay steadfast. Amen. But our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are not upon anything else. Amen. Our eyes are not upon the bad news that we're hearing, but our eyes are upon the good news. Amen. Our eyes are upon what you said, Lord, on the promises that you made. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's going on. We can't explain every detail of what's happening, but God, you know what's happening. Lord, you know what to do. And in verse 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord. Listen, all Judah, all Israel. Oh my goodness. All Israel stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And that wasn't just Jehoshaphat. It wasn't just the priests. It wasn't just the prophets. It was the little ones, the children, everybody stood before the Lord when bad news came. Amen. When they heard this bad news that they were about to get invaded. I wonder if we do that in this hour. Amen. Do we stand with our families? Amen. Do we get desperate before God, or is it just you? Amen. But is it all of our families? Amen. When we all do that, amen, especially us as a congregation do that, amen, you're going to see God do great things amongst us. Amen. And so if you continue reading the story, I don't have time to read it, but if you continue reading that story, God gives word after they prayed, after they did what they were supposed to do. God gives word to the prophet, not to the prophet, but to the Levite Jehaziel. And tells them that they were going to be victorious. As a matter of fact, they were not even going to fight at all. It gives them the word that the enemies, Ammon and all of them, were going to actually destroy themselves. They were going to destroy themselves. And it wasn't, you know, normally the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, right? This was a Levite that received that word. I believe he was a priest, because the Levites were priests. It was just a priest that the word of the Lord came to. And the people of Israel, or the people of Judah, they took that. And they went with it, and God destroyed their enemies, and King Jehoshaphat and Judah prevailed. Amen. But what did they have to do? They prayed, they fasted, they got together, and they said, Lord, you've given us these promises. You've given us this land. You've given us this temple, this place. Lord, why would you do all of this, Father, if you're not going to protect us? You see, we can't do anything. God, if you don't step in, Lord, there's nothing we can do. If God doesn't step in this hour, saints, amen, there is nothing we can do. Amen. God is the one that has to prevail. God is the one that has to do the work. Amen. And God wants it that way, because God wants us to see, amen, the miracles the things that he can do. And we've all seen them. We've all seen great things that God has done in our lives. Amen. But he wants us to see it again and again and again and again. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful story. And we could go in more details with that. Amen. There's another story similar to this. If you read in Isaiah chapter 37, where King Hezekiah, he received bad news. Amen. From King Sennacherib of Assyria. And King Sennacherib, he was out destroying all the peoples around him and slain and taking over. And now it was time for him to take over, Israel, Judah. The same Judah that King Jehoshaphat was over, now King Hezekiah was over the same land, and here comes bad news from King Sennacherib. And this time it was by a letter that was sent to King Hezekiah. You can read there in Isaiah chapter 37. He receives this letter. And I don't know if you all received bad news in letter form or in email. Amen. We're going to have to close your bank account or, you know, your life insurance policy is, you know, we're gone broke. We're going to have to do, or whatever it is, whatever it may be. You know, bad news comes. This was in the form of a letter this time. Jehoshaphat heard it by word of mouth. Now this time is by letter. And it says, if you read in Isaiah chapter 37 and in verse 14, it says, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it." He read it. But watch, "And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord." Oh my. He spread the problem before the Lord. Amen. He went up to the house of the Lord. You see, these are people that did not even have the Holy Ghost, and that's the reaction that they take. Amen. How about us with the Holy Ghost? Amen. What should we do when problems and things come to our lives? Amen. We should go. That's the first thing we should think about. Amen. Praise God. And that's what Hezekiah does. He spreads this letter before the Lord. And he says, and he starts praying. And watch, in verse 15, "And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which have sent to reproach the living God." He knew that it wasn't just a reproach towards the people, but he was reproaching the living God by him saying this. "Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries." He knew that that's what was happening. "And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only." Amen. It wasn't a selfish prayer by Hezekiah, just like Jehoshaphat. Amen. It was a prayer so that you, Lord, can get the glory out of it. Amen. We don't want these individuals, amen, to get healed, amen, just for the sake of getting healed. Amen. But you, Lord, so that you can get the glory out of it. Amen. We don't want all these things that are happening all around us, amen, problems and situations, Lord, you take care of these, yes, Lord, but so that ultimately you get the glory out of it. Amen. Because that's all we care about, is that you get the glory, Lord. Amen. And so if you continue reading, amen, God saves them from that king, amen, and gives them the victory and protects them from the king. As a matter of fact, they're destroyed, and I believe, if I understand correctly, the two sons of that king, Sennacherib, killed their own father. And amen, the same sword that they were going to kill with, amen, comes against them. Amen. David says it a lot in Psalms. He says, the same devices that they have come up with, Lord, that they fall in those same devices. The same trap that Satan puts, amen, to try to hurt his children, God's children, amen. Let that same trap come upon him. Amen. Let that same trap come upon our enemies. Praise God. But God knows what he's doing. God allows the situation. You don't think that God didn't know that that letter was going to be sent to King Hezekiah? God knew it before the foundation of the world. He just wanted to see the reaction. Amen. Amen. He wanted to put them in another position where they got desperate before God. And you know what, saints? I don't believe that this will be the first or last time that we will have bad news again. It'll continue. Bad news will always be around us and be here with us. But it's like I said last time, what are you going to do when it comes pressure? When pressure comes, what will you do? Amen. It's what we do with pressure that either helps us advance or not advance. Amen. You can read that there, the rest of the story there in Isaiah chapter 37. Praise God. You know, and we were looking there at Jesus, amen, where he was on the boat, amen, when he heard the bad news from the disciples that they were, you know, they were about to die due to the storm. Amen. But Jesus was just sleeping. Can you imagine that? I mean, as a matter of fact, the waves moving and tossing to and fro was just rocking him to sleep even better. And that is what troubles should do for the children of God. Amen. Amen. Just rock us even more towards confidence towards him. Amen. Because why? What does Psalm 112 say again? Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen. And when Jesus came, amen, he came to practice. He came to live the word. And that's what he was practicing. Amen. He is the word. Praise God. What happened? You know that God, amen, he heard bad news himself. Even at the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned. Amen. He heard bad news that his children had sinned, and they've gotten away from the word that he had commanded. Now, did it take God by surprise? No, it did not. He knew it all along. As a matter of fact, he knew it so much that he had already made a way for them, even before the foundation of the world. The lamb was slain in his mind before the foundation of the world. Amen. He had made a way for them. But it didn't take him by surprise. And that same God is the same God that we should have in us, that when we hear the bad news, amen, it doesn't take us by surprise, because we know that he knows what is going on. Even though we don't know, he knows, and he has made a way out for us. Praise God. He has already made a way of escape. Listen, there's people that have passed away amongst us. You know, our precious brother Don Fearon, you know, he passed away amongst us. He's a missionary, there to the Philippines and different countries of the world. He, God took him. Amen. This past week. Amen. Apparently he died with COVID, and that didn't take God by surprise. That was just the avenue that God used, amen, to take our brother home. Amen. That was just the avenue that he used. And so God already has a way of escape. Amen. For each and every one. That could be the way of escape that God had for him. That could be the way of escape. Amen. Sometimes, even if God doesn't answer our prayer for the healing of the body. Amen. And I was telling my wife this week in regards to Brother Royal, you know, Brother Royal, you all just continue to pray for him in the Philippines. You know, we're still believing that God is touching his body and he's healing his body. Amen. He's still with us. Just little by little, he's got infection in his blood, and it's going to take some antibiotic treatment to get rid of that. But I said, you know, I wonder if it's God sometimes does things where he may prolong the healing of somebody, not necessarily for that person. Because God can heal the body. The body to be healed is not difficult for him. He is our healer. He is the source of healing. What if God is doing it for the ones around him? For the hearts? What he wants is the hearts. And that's what's difficult. It's more difficult. Not that it's difficult for him. Don't misunderstand me. But it's tougher for him to deal with the hearts of the people, because he cannot override their free moral agency. You see? He cannot override that. He respects that. He gave us that. And so He's got our brother. Maybe he's still laying in bed. He's still sedated. He's still having the problems. But here are his maybe family members, maybe the friends, people around him. And God is trying to do something where maybe he's trying to touch the hearts. Amen. And that's what he's more concerned about. Maybe he wants a more of a desperation for us to get together, just like King Jehoshaphat and all the families and everybody got together in prayer. Amen. God is more concerned about the heart than he is about the body. Amen. Amen. He can heal the body, no problem at all. What God wants is the hearts. Amen. Because that's what he cares for more. Amen. And so sometimes if we look at situations that way, they seem to be prolonged. Amen. Maybe God, what he's waiting for is that we get our hearts right. And then God will take care of the rest after that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that is just how God wants us to react, amen, to bad news. Amen. He already has the solution. He already has the solution. All he wants us to do is maybe just get in action. Pray. Meditate. Pray. Get desperate before God. Amen. Amen. So let's just look real quick here at things to do when bad news comes. Amen. Amen. If we read in Psalms chapter 28, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and I give thanks to him." Watch, with my song. Amen. Amen. With my song. Amen. Sing before God. Amen. It'll help us it'll help our heart rejoice, and it'll help us, amen, keep our eyes fixed on his promises. Amen. Psalms 56:4, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Praise God. Amen. God doesn't want us to be afraid. Amen. God wants us to just look to him. Amen. Again, we're human. Our human tendencies is to be afraid, and that's okay. All right, we're afraid. All right, let's stop and let's think. Lord, you're the one that has control of the situation. Lord, I'm just going to look to you because there's nothing I can do on my end. You have to take over now. Psalms 57:7, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music." Amen. That's the best thing to do. Many times, amen, just start singing. Amen. Just start praying. You know, I love listening to Sister Brenda Lewis. Amen. And the music that the words and the music that she produced when she was here on earth with us still, amen. It she didn't know maybe she was writing it for me. You know, and yesterday I was listening to a sermon yesterday, and a brother was preaching, and he was talking about Sister Brenda Lewis. And if you know who Sister Brenda Lewis, she was a sister songwriter that lived in Florida. And, she produced that song, "Stronger Wind Than This." Amen. She wrote that song, and I did not know that she wrote that song in the middle of a hurricane that was going through Miami at the time, through Florida. I don't know which hurricane it was. And it was in the midst of the hurricane that she started writing the words to that song. And the words of the song, "Strong winds are blowing with the unrelenting force. People running to and fro. They don't know what's going on." You know, and it's, just listen to it sometime. But see, if the hurricane wasn't coming through, if the force wasn't coming through, it would not help had produced those words, amen, to that song. That song that is sung amongst our ranks a lot. Amen. So my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Psalms chapter 108, verse 1 says, "My heart is steadfast." There's a key thing here that we keep seeing. Steadfast. Steadfast. And steadfast means firm. Stay put. Stand still. Amen. "Oh God, I will sing and make music with all my being." Again, make music. And then last one, Proverbs 1:33. "But whoever listens to me will dwell in safety, secure from the fear of evil." Amen. Praise God. Stay steadfast. Amen. And when you don't know what else to do, you know how to sing. Sing before God. Make music in your heart. Amen. And those things will resound and give you strength, give you faith. Amen. I don't know if you all have heard the story of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was the man who wrote the song "It Is Well With My Soul." And what he went through for us to have that hymn is incredible. Amen. And he was a lawyer, amen. And he was a successful attorney and a real estate investor. And he had lost all his fortune in the great fire, in a great Chicago fire of 1871. In that same year, or that around that same time, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. So he lost everything he had, and then he lost his son. And then if you read the story, he sent his family, he wanted to send them to England, overseas, because he thought maybe they could use a good vacation after having gone through all that he went through. He had four daughters and his wife, and he sent them off because he had to stay back in Chicago to finish up a few things. He sent them off, and in the middle of them going, their ship hit another ship, and they sunk all, I believe it was 200 people that were on board, 200 or 300 people that were on board, including his four daughters. They all died. And so his wife gets to England, and she sends a message to him and tells him, everybody, all of our daughters are gone. They sunk, you know, they drowned. And she said, what shall we do? She asked him in that, what shall we do? And so what Horatio does is he immediately sets sail for England. As the ship that he was on was going through the same area where his daughter's ship was, as he was going through the same area, the captain knew about Horatio and what had happened to his daughters. So he points out the spot where the ship had sunk and his daughters. And he looked at the spot, and it just inspiration came upon him. And he penned those words. Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Amen. But if it hadn't taken that tragedy that Horatio went through at losing his family, losing everything he had, his four-year-old son with scarlet fever, amen, we would not have that well-beloved hymn that we have today that has blessed many, many. Probably many have come to the Lord because of that hymn. And it's blessed me. And I'm sure that it has blessed you. Praise God. Amen. And so we're not always going to be exempt from tragedies. We're not always going to be exempt from hard times. And as I've said before, I believe that God will allow more hard times, more difficult times to come in our lives. We're not exempt from them. But are we going to come out stronger during those hard times? Are we going to, or is something good? God is trying to squeeze something good out of us. Amen. Through those hard times, through those squeezes. Amen. Faith in a loving God will with trust in His divine help, and we can confidently say, amen, that it is well with our soul. Amen. Bad news were going to come. But let me tell you, saints, that there's good news as well. Amen. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for you. Amen. He's resurrected. Amen. He came back in the form of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Filled 120 there in the upper room. And now He wants to do the same for you and I. Amen. And that good news, that news right there has not changed. It's still the same. It's the same prescription from yesterday. It's good now and it will be good tomorrow. Amen. You don't have to be overwhelmed by bad news. There's good news. The good news is that He raised from the dead and that He's a healer and that He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews 13:8 declares. And I'll just finish with this. Brother Branham says in the Message, Hebrews chapter 2 in 1957, he says, a messenger, you are a messenger this morning. You're a messenger of good news or a messenger of bad news. Oh, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, the messengers of the resurrection. Amen. It doesn't have to be just a preacher. Amen. It could be just you. Amen. Just a regular person here that comes to church, a regular sister that tells somebody about the good news of the resurrection, that that person doesn't have to live and continue in their sin. There's a Christ, there's a God that has made a way for them, amen, that they can come into Christ and Christ can come into them and they can be different people in this hour, amen. That God sent us a prophet in this our day, amen, to open the word to us, amen, that had been eaten down throughout all the ages and now it's been restored to us, amen. What good news that is, amen. Amongst the bad news, amen, there's a people proclaiming, amen, good news in this hour. Amen. To know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, the messengers of the resurrection. And we are God's messengers to the sinful world that Christ lives. In our hearts, He lives. In our spirits, He lives. And He brings us from the low, debauched life of sin and exalts us up and gives us a hallelujah in our soul and makes us new creatures. We are messengers, angels of the covenant. How wonderful. Amen. Amen. How wonderful that is, those good news. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, saints, when bad news strikes, amen, let's just do what Psalms 112 says. So let's just read again. It says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen. What Horatio Spafford did, amen, all he can do was just, Lord, You know what was happening. You knew what you were doing, Lord. And so I'm just going to trust in you. Amen. Praise God. And just right before we finish here, like, can we just sing, amen, just a little stanza or two from that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Amen. And this is song 389. We don't have instruments, but we'll just sing to Him. And if you know the words, you sing along with us. There, those that are watching in. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. Let's sing that last verse. But Lord, 'tis for Thee, for Thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. That's what we all want. Oh, the shout of the angel, the voice of the Lord. Blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. soul. Amen. God bless you all, saints. I trust that when bad times and even the times that we are in now, amen, that you can just have that courage to just sing that. Amen. It is well with my soul. God knows what he's doing. And saints, don't fear death. You know, we're called not to fear death. We're called not to fear, those things in life, you know, because death is just as Brother Claude said the other day, it's just the Cadillac that God uses to take us, amen, to a better position. Amen. Praise God. And death is just the door that we can just go through. Amen. And get to the other side. Praise God. There's nothing that death has already been conquered. Amen. And you're in a better position when you're in that, behind that door. Amen. Than when you are here. So may God bless each and every one of you. Let's just bow our heads, before we dismiss. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity, Lord, to hear your word, Father. To hear these words of encouragement, Lord Jesus. When we hear bad news, Lord God, Lord, let us stay steadfast before you, Lord. Let us stay, Lord, fixed, Father God, on what you promised in your word, Lord. Lord, Father, as King Hezekiah did and as King Jehoshaphat did, Lord, all they could do, Father, was go straight to you, Lord, when bad news struck, Father God, in their lives. Lord Jesus, oh Father, if we had kings, Father God, just like King Hezekiah and King Jehoshaphat, Lord, this nation would probably be in a different condition that is in, Father. But Lord, we know that things had to come this way, Lord God, for a purpose, Father, for the sons and daughters of God to be manifested in this hour, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to bless our loved ones, bless our people, Father God, that are going through hard times in this hour. Lord, continue to bless them, be with them, strengthen them, Father. And let us come out through these trials, Lord God, more tried and more true, Father God, better than gold, Lord. We love you. We commit ourselves into your hands and bless the rest of the remaining of the day, Father, and the next service, Lord, that you would anoint the speaker, Lord God, and speak to our hearts, Father, those things that we need to hear, Father. We pray and ask you these things now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. Yes, the next service, saints, is at 1:00 in the afternoon. So just meet with us then. God bless you all.